Rosalind, hi there, and thank you for getting up early.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Your story is so fascinating, I think. The book, When the Horses Whisper, talks about it. But just to hear you explain what happened and how this became part of your life.
Well, I was riding on a horse in Costa Rica, and I fell off into a river. When I got back up on the horse, I literally heard him speaking to me. He said, I can't believe that happened. No one's ever fallen off of me before. Are you okay? Am I going to be in trouble? He was very upset. And I was very relaxed, and it didn't occur to me that anything strange was happening, so we talked about it. And then after about 20 minutes further back to the barn, he said, you really do hear me, don't you? And I said, yes. And he said, then I need your help. And he gave me a message for his owner.
You then have to, okay, I guess it's my job, and take that forward.
Well, I felt that it was important to do that for him, but I also realized that the other tourists who were on the ride might not understand. And so I waited until they were not around. And I talked to this person who owned this facility, and she did not know me except that I was a tourist in her facility. She looked at me funny when I gave her the message that her horse, Titan, wanted her to know that he didn't need any more training. He just needed a rest now and then. So that night at dinner, she came up to me very quietly, and she said, I need to know from you. How did you know about that? It turns out that she and her stableman had been talking about sending that horse back for more training.
So this was an extreme, legit thing, and she's like, wow. And so did you talk more with the horse?
When she realized, she said, you can't know about this. I need to know how you know. When I told her I got it from your horse, she told me she needed help and asked if I could help her with a horse that they thought they might have to get rid of, who was misbehaving on the trails and unpredictable and kicking, and it was a danger, and it was this woman's favorite horse, and she was really upset. So I told her I didn't have any idea of what had happened or how it happened or how to replicate it, and that therefore I was sorry I couldn't help, but she persisted. And I went down and talked to this other horse named Hitana and learned from the horse that she was concerned and needed to be put alone for a while in the pregnancy because of a pregnancy, and nobody on that farm had any idea about a pregnancy. Well, as it turns out, she was pregnant and she lost that foal, and what she needed was time alone so that she could tend to her unborn child.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite something, isn't it?
Well, it's so real. I mean, you know, it's a very, that's a human kind of an emotion.
Well, that's what I've learned from these horses. You know, it's so easy for us to separate them from ourselves because they're a different species, yes, and to assume that as human beings we have certain capacities that other animals don't have. But what I've learned and what's been so astounding and humbling is that horses, not only do they have a range of emotional capacities, but they're very intelligent and they know what's going on. They have their own families. They have their own relationships that are very close. They know what's going on with people, and especially with the people who call themselves their owners. They're extremely attuned. So a lot of what I've done recently is help the owners to understand what the horses are perceiving about their relationship and what the person actually needs, not just the horse.
When this happened for you, how did you factor this into your life? Because this is a shift. All of a sudden, a world that was closed is now wide open.
It's true. I had never heard an animal speak like that, ever. I think that because I had had a number of experiences in childhood of hearing the voices of people who were deceased, it was not out of the complete realm of possibility for me, but it was certainly a brand new experience. It felt like the most natural thing in the world, and I think that actually for most living species, this flow of communication is the most natural thing in the world. It's just that we humans started to separate ourselves from the animal kingdom and the natural world so dramatically that we're not used to it anymore. I have to believe that this is part of who we are as humans.
I agree, and I've had my own experiences with this kind of thing. I blogged about one, Hemingway the turtle, who met... I don't know if he's still there because I haven't been here there recently, but at a toy store in Lake of the Ozarks. And he was like the resident pet. And just so fascinating to connect. And sometimes, like when this happens, you hear it's it's a very, I think, eye-opening kind of thing. And it's just, for me, it was invigorating. Like, wow, this is so amazing. It doesn't happen for me all the time. But when I do connect, it's one of those things that it makes life special. And you start realizing that all of these other beings around us have their own lives and their own perceptions, their own ways of dealing with the world as they know it. And it's just, it's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you're describing something that is natural to human beings, and maybe there'll be a more of a sense of richness to life when we all begin to realize that we're in a flow of communication with other species.
Well, to me, it makes it much more fascinating, and I'm very curious. And so when you're talking about this, I have to ask, did you have an injury? Was this a head injury, or was this just something?
It occurred to me, but I didn't actually hit my head when I fell into the water. I also had on a riding helmet, but there was no rock. It was a very sandy bottom river. I did have to ask myself, was there a jolt or something that would have caused a problem? But there were no other symptoms in my life, and I continued to, you know, flourish. So I think I'm fine.
Well, I just wanted to counter anybody who's at home thinking, okay, well, if this is all it takes.
Yeah, well, if this is the result of a head injury, I'm a very fortunate woman.
Yeah. I mean, part of that is that's a natural question, is was there an injury? Did that shift? For others, you know, there are people who out there also believe we shift timelines and we do things like that. So it could have been a quantum leap into a different reality, and this is the reality where you actually hear animals. That was my next question. Do you hear other animals, or are horses the main focus?
Horses are the main focus, but I have to be very intentional and conscious. If I'm just walking past a bunch of horses in a stable, I'm not going to hear them all talking. What I have to do is actually, I go into a brief meditation where I set the intention to listen, and then I tell the horse, I'm here to listen to you. And it may take a little while for them to believe me that it's possible, because, horses aren't used to this either. They've been domesticated, and they're not listened to generally, except some unusual relationships with people. So at any rate, I have to actually, it's almost like I have to open up the channel or turn the switch on. I think it got turned on when I fell off that day, and then after that I learned how to turn it back on when people asked for my help.
Okay. And when we get into the next break, I would like to ask some more questions in terms of how you can help other people get into this. But you've had people, there's a veterinarian who gives a wonderful endorsement.
Oh, he was in Costa Rica, and also, he did give a wonderful endorsement because he'd seen me work. But very recently, here in the U.S., just a few weeks ago, it was a surprise to me. I don't know if before the break I can take another minute to tell the story if you'd like me to wait.
Well, try real quick. We'll stop you.
I was demonstrating this at a barn wine and cheese party, and I had a horse tell me that he had some pain, and he showed me where. And I was trying to understand what it might be about, and I said, I wish I had a vet nearby, and the man raised his hand and said, I'm a vet. And he came into the stall, and I told him what the horse was saying, and he corroborated the story and said, oh, yes, that's a very common symptom of what this horse is describing, which was another horse that kicked him in that particular place.
Wow.
And it made me feel really reassured that I'm on the right track here.
Okay. And perfect timing. All right. Rosalind Byrne, my guest. And if you're interested in this, you can follow along right now or listen to the download. When Horses Whisper is the name of the book, so there's more content with that. In the meantime, when we come back, maybe some tips on how, if you're interested, you can connect and you can pay more attention and possibly make a connection with your horse or animals. Wendy's Coffee House, next. You hear the voices? They're out there. And maybe some of them are actually real. I know I've had my own experiences. I'll get to that a little bit later. But When Horses Whisper is an amazing story of transformation. And it's like when the world opens up and new elements are present, your life changes. Rosalind Byrne, the website, rosalindbyrne.com. You can find the book there, or the book Amazon, you can get it there. But getting into the book and talking about the cases where the horse is kind of trying to illustrate or help somebody, Well, okay, maybe I need to back up. Your background in technology, science, I just want to give a little bit of a split of where this came from. Then you shifted gears. Can you do that?
Well, my background is actually in bioethics, but I teach in an engineering school. So I teach required courses to students of mechanical and electrical, chemical, computer science, and I research the nature of scientific and technological development and its effect on our communities and our lives and the society. So that's my background.
See, that's amazing. I mean, and I think it helps. I think it gives you a little bit of a boost because you understand how this might integrate into a larger picture.
That's what I hope that I do as a scholar, yes. The other thing, on a much more personal note, is, you know, I'm pretty keenly aware of mental health issues because I have a child who has a lot of trouble with psychosis and bipolar, and who hears voices. And so I have to be very careful and thoughtful and asking myself, you know, when people hear voices, whether they're animal or other, you know, how do we know, how do we discern when it's from our own mind and versus from actually other beings, living beings?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real process of trying to work through, you know, how do I know the difference? How do I know I'm okay? And in the case of the horses, because much of what I hear, I can't know, and then people tell me, well, this is actually true, it's very reassuring to me that I'm okay. I'm just learning to connect differently to these animals.
Well, and I think the validation helps. And when I mentioned this thing about the turtle, there were clerks in the store when I said such and such, then they said, yes, that was exactly what happened. And then the turtle's behavior changed too, because the turtle at first, when I was talking, first the turtle couldn't believe I could hear him to start out with. And then when he realized I could, he's like, you're really listening to me. Yes, I am. And so then he wanted me to maintain eye contact so he could make sure that I was picking up and, you know, and delivering what he said. He told them about a certain food that he liked. They said yes, he hadn't had that recently. And he also nailed somebody who did not feed him on a regular basis, and that person fessed up, felt guilty, because that's when he ate the fish. Okay, it's like, no food, fine, fish gone. Yeah. And he thought it was a game. So but that was having them right there to corroborate it, and watching he became animated. He looked from me to them and back, saying, you know, are you getting this? She's telling you. And it was just so that was like, oh my, he was a very talkative little guy. He had some demands.
This is a great story, because even with us, when we're not heard versus when we're really deeply being listened to, it changes how we feel in ourselves. It's absolutely my experience with horses, and I'm so glad that you had this with a turtle, because, you know, I was wondering, you know, how far along in this chain of animal life does this communication possibility go? And I'm thinking all the way, and even to plants, that we're all sentient, aware beings connected. And if we listen, it does change people. The animals that in the stalls, they all start standing very still when they realize that one of them is talking to me. And it's like you can feel a shift in the whole barn, because they're all like, wow, she's listening.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so glad to hear your story.
Yeah, well, and this is part of it, though. That's why I really enjoy sharing your story, because the more this gets out, and the more I think the doubt and the insecurity that people have when these things first happen, then you get a comfort level that allows you to even expand your awareness and expand your abilities. And my goal is to help you teach others, because that's what you're doing, this, or, you know, at least related to people who are interested, so they can practice and become better. And that's in your book. You're talking about the importance of these animals and how they're helping their owners when people don't even think about that.
Well, and the other thing that happens, even for the owners who don't particularly learn how to listen, when they hear from their horse through me how well the horse knows them, how aware they are of what's going on with themselves. Like, they might, here's an example that was pretty shocking. One of the horses shared an image of a man in a window and falling. And I shared that image with this woman, and she was stunned. She said, "My husband died falling out of a window." And I said, "Well, your horse is aware that you're carrying this in you still, and he's trying to support you in this sorrow that you're still holding on to." And I'll have people start weeping because, like, my animal sees me so well. They know me so well. How can this be? And it opens their hearts because then they get the deep connection that's absolutely profound between themselves and the animals in their lives.
There was a while back when I was told, maybe years ago, that animals think in pictures. And if you want to connect with an animal, then start being aware of the pictures you're getting because they can send you images. And same thing, they're picking up on your images. Do you see that?
I think many of the horses I've connected with communicate with me through images, some through words. It depends on the horse, just like with people. I have a daughter who's extremely visual, and I'm the opposite. I'm auditory. So I think that it depends on the animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like I said with the turtle, he gave me gummy worms. I'm like, what? So I tell him gummy worms. They night crawlers. That's what the turtle really likes those.
Huh.
I was like, gummy worms? But that's the word I got, and I don't know how a turtle would know gummy worms. But
well, I think what might happen is that this is the same experience I get with horses. It's like, how are they getting these words? I think that they're conveying a very particular message, and when we're interpreting it in a way that we can understand and then putting words to it.
Okay, yeah, because I wouldn't have gone for night crawlers. That is not in my repertoire, no. But gummy worms, I could, okay, here's this one. And yeah, he went through my vocabulary and said, well, I guess that's going to have to do. Yeah, my clerks are smarter. They'll figure it out. But it was, so when you're doing this, though, the animals, I can't explain what it feels like. But it's just like all of a sudden you have a new friend, and there's this emotion and this I have a sense of empathy and connection. There was another time in Sedona when there was a frog in the pool, and the frog was there was no way for this frog to get out, and it's probably a toad, okay, because it's Sedona, Arizona, and it's a swimming pool, so that he's in the and he's swimming, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get you out. He's running away. He's like, no, you're big. I'm out of here. And there's nowhere for him to go. So I pick him up, put him on the side, and I sit by him for a little while, and he stays right there. And then this is one of the times when it became clear that I was beginning to get the ability. And at a certain point, he left, and we had this kind of agreement. And I said, so what was the lesson? And he said, well, when you put yourself in a pool of your own making, a problem of your own making, don't be afraid to accept help from an unconventional source.
Mm.
And it was like, wow. Mm. Wow. Because, yeah, he was scared to death that he might be dinner and running away. And I had to, you know, I had to help him to save him. At the same time, he sat down and gave me a lesson. I thought that was just brilliant. And this is the kind of stuff that happens when we kind of suspend our disbelief and say, well, okay, is there something here I can learn from?
You see, you had the wherewithal to ask him. I mean, you were willing to listen to that creature, so you asked what was the lesson, and so he told you. Most of us would not have gone to that point. I mean, we would have been scared or eked out or, you know, I don't know. I'm just thinking of myself. I probably wouldn't have reached for a toad.
Well, he was drowning. I was not going to let that happen on my watch.
Okay. Yeah. He was drowning. I might have done something.
Yeah, but yeah. I wasn't the scorpion.
I wasn't the scorpion.
No.
That's a good point.
Okay. So for the people who are your clients, how does it work? Oh, you know what?
Okay.
We've got to take a break. We'll go to the break first, and then that's what we're going to come back with, okay? Because then we'll wrap with that. All right. Rosalind Byrne, When the Horses Whisper, if this is an amazing connection that you can have with your animals. It works on a regular basis. The more you practice, it works better, all right? Wendy's Coffee House, Talk Radio, KCMO. Rosalind Byrne, author of When the Horses Whisper. It's a great education, a great introduction to interspecies communication. So I was talking about your clients. What do you help them with?
Oh, most of the time they ask me to come because they think they're having a problem with the horse, or they have heard what I do and they just want to know what the horse has to say. Oftentimes it turns out that what the horse wants to talk about is something in their relationship or that person. Occasionally there's a problem with themselves, like maybe some pain or discomfort. Mostly it's usually an emotional disconnection. Like, for example, maybe one of the horses in that herd has been sold away. Or maybe they don't understand why they were ever sold in the first place and what they're doing in this new place, because they had a relationship, say, with a teenage girl, and they want to know what they did wrong to be sent away. I get that a lot. So a lot of it's about relationship, either previous or current. Sometimes it's about relationships in the herd itself. Maybe they're with a few other horses, and one of them is being a bully or acting up or is new to the herd and has disturbed it. So a lot of it is about social matters. Sometimes with the people, they might sense that their person is depressed or sick. They often know that the person is sick and needs support, and they want more time with that person. They're asking the person to spend more time with them so that they can be helpful.
And what do they do when they're when they're engaged with their people?
You mean when I'm standing with them? Or
yeah.
Usually the first of horse has to get permission to talk to me because they're so loyal to their person. Although I did talk to a racehorse recently in Kentucky who didn't even know who their owner was.
Oh.
And their owner asked me to come because they lost a couple races and wanted to know what was wrong. And I did find out. But that horse, I had to introduce them to the person who was their owner.
And
because that's a different kind of relationship in that industry.
That's
right?
Corporate horse.
It's a corporate horse. It's more an investment than a being that you have a relationship with.
Oh.
But usually a regular backyard horse or a dressage horse or, you know, somebody's personal friend horse, they'll stand very quietly, and I'll ask them the person to touch their horse, because then I can get a better sense of the energy that's between them, and the horse can then share with me what they feel is going on with the person.
What did you think about the horse that was withdrawn from the Olympics, the woman who, the horse had, I believe, a mosquito bite, a bad reaction to a bug bite, and then she said she went into the ring and the horse just didn't have it. She said, no, I'm not going to do this. Did you hear that story?
I did not hear that story. Was she doing this for the sake of the horse?
She said, yes. She said, I just can't, the horse has given me so much. I believe the horse is about 19, so this might have been the last Olympics. And she said, the horse has given so much. And I think she's a bronze medal winner from 2012, so they'd been there before. But this time, because of that illness, she said, no, just not going to do
it. Good for her. I'm so glad to hear that. Because so much of what I see is injuries and pain because horses have been pushed so hard and without regard for what they actually need.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad, because she sets a model around the world for the way we could treat horses with respect.
See, part of that is, I think, you know, there's controversy when people say, but you're there for the event. We've put so much into you, and there's this pressure to, I've done so much, and everybody has these expectations. And when it comes down to it, the relationship is between the person and the horse.
I'm really glad to hear this story, Wendy, really, truly, because she went against all that pressure for the sake of that relationship.
That's my thought. That's my thought. And, I heard that and I thought, oh, boy, that's a tough situation to be in because of all the expectations, all the drama, all the hoopla, all the pressure. And bottom line is the agreement is with the person who is riding and engaging and interacting with that animal, and everybody else is secondary, no matter what the money investment is, no matter what, you know, it's that it's hard to call it from the sidelines. But now your book is something that anybody can engage with.
Well, good. I hoped for it to be. It's very personal to my experiences, but I had hoped other people would read it and feel engaged. One thing that I learned after writing that book is that a lot of this has to do with being able to move out of our thinking brain selves and into our heart center, and to combine the heart with the brain, and then we open up more to that flow of listening to other beings.
I wanted to also bring back, you were mentioning voices and the discernment. Because we don't want to project our own issues or our own thoughts. How do you separate that?
Well, that's a process of learning and also being aware of how much we do project. It's sort of the way we operate generally. And we can carry this into relations with other people as well, because we project onto other people. So the more we're willing to step back and just ask, what am I actually hearing and where is it coming from? The more we practice, then the more we really begin to parse that out.
Okay. And the next step, do you have your horse farm yet?
Oh my goodness! So I was a gift. My consulting was a gift to a rescue facility in Richmond, and I was standing there trying to help them with a horse that had been in a lot of trauma, and a horse came up behind me and started talking to me, and she said, I'm the horse you've been waiting for. I'm going to help you deepen your work. Take me home with you. Yes, I adopted her. I put her in a boarding facility. I found that I missed being with her because it was once a week, so my husband and I bought a horse farm. We moved in 3 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. But now here's the rest of the story.
Okay.
The horse I went to help who had been traumatized,
yeah.
She lives with us too.
Oh, yay. So your horse has a friend.
Well, it's really important that they have a companion. They're herd animals. They have to have a companion.
See, there's so much more to talk about with this, but that's what you're learning. You went into this from just beginning to here, and now it's like, here's the farm.
And now I'm getting up early and mucking the pastures. Yeah.
Welcome to horse life. And you're traveling. Are you going to be traveling to help with people with this, or do you Skype? Or you know, for somebody's interested, how do they arrange an appointment?
I think the first step is to just send me a message through my webpage, rosalindburn.com, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Because I think this is so encouraging and expanding when you're able to make these connections and see that it works for somebody else. And if you can't do it yourself, bring somebody in who can and take a few tips, because that's the way we learn through that engagement. And sometimes we just have to have the visual and somebody give us an imprint. So it's like, wow. Or even standing next to somebody, when you see this happen, you can pick up that stuff too. It's just, everybody works differently, but I'm so glad that you're doing what you're doing. And you've got now a couple of teachers who will help you improve, huh?
And Raven and Ruby are their names, Raven and Ruby, and they are definitely helping me. It's changed my life, and it's changed the lives of the people whose barns I've worked in. Even if they don't listen to horses, the fact that they intend to hear has changed the whole nature of their barns, and it's beautiful to see.
Okay, so how does it help you with the schoolwork?
It's a little distracting, actually, but my students love the fact that I talk to horses.
And everybody's jealous. All right, we got to let you go.
Take care. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. If you missed anything, go back and catch up on it. In the meantime, we'll have some other links, too. See you later, Wendy's Coffee House.